Holiness. Holiness. It's a word most Christians don't understand. Holiness. Even being holy. It's become a negative. If you say to somebody, well, you know, I'm just trying to be holy, they're like, oh, well, look at you and all you're holy. Must be nice to be all holier than thou. Holy's become a negative. Well, that's not the way the Bible talks about holiness. Holiness is an essential part of being a Christian. Problem is, we don't know how to be holy. So once you leave this service today, you're going to know. You're going to have a growth track to holiness. So never again will you be able to say, I'm not sure what holiness is. I don't know what it means. I don't know how to be holy. You are going to know. So I'm going to teach you and equip you with what the Word of God says about holiness. Because we need more than faith to please God. So you have to have faith to please God. It's impossible to please Him without it, because you can't come into a relationship with Him without faith. In the middle of Hebrews chapter 11, in the heroes of faith, Enoch and Abraham, Moses, Rahab, all these wonderful heroes of faith. By the way, who every single one of them messed up hugely in their lives, but got to be called heroes of faith. So for those of you who have messed up your life and you think you still can't do things for God, just read Hebrews 11, you'll realize that there's massive hope for you. In the middle of Hebrews 11, the writer says, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus said in Matthew 19, looked at them and He said, with men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. So the difference between impossible and possible is faith in God. That's it. Faith in God. Faith in God is a starting point of our journey. It's not the end, but unfortunately, it's where most Christians stop. Most Christians give their life to Jesus, pray the prayer, yep, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, right? Okay, so I don't need to do any more to go to heaven. No, that's right. Okay, good, I'm checking out. And they don't do any more. Like, well, I'll just be a good person. I'll just do my best to be a good person. But God, in His Word, tells us that it's not even close to what He wants. In fact, it could be not any further from what He wants. So what does God want from us that pleases Him apart from faith? Well, the answer is found all through the New Testament, the Apostle Paul's writings, which is where he consistently wrote about the difference between a follower and a disciple. Somebody who was a follower of Jesus, that's what the multitudes were. When, you know, you read the stories, it was like, and the multitudes. You know what the multitudes were? They were just gawkers. They were just like, oh, He's going to do a miracle. I wonder what it'll be. Bread, wine, what do you think? I don't know. Oh, it's a leper. He's doing the leprosy thing. Watch this, the finger's going to grow back. That's all they were. And then when He'd move on, they'd move on. See, there were lots of followers. There weren't many disciples. You know what a disciple is? A disciple is a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. Somebody who will actually do what Jesus asked them to do. That's not fun. Because sometimes, guess what? God's going to ask you to do things you don't want to do. We don't like that. Paul wrote to the churches in Thessalonica, Colossae, Ephesians, in Ephesus, Philippi. He wrote to Titus. He wrote to Timothy. Constantly, over and over, the same thing. This is what you need to do to be a disciple. And it was all about the path to holiness. In Colossians 1, in verses 3 to 6, and I'm not going to read them all, but basically in those three verses, Paul says, we give thanks because the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, which you've accepted, is now producing fruit in your life. So that's good. Good job. Good job for getting saved. So if that was all there was to it, there'd be no need for verses 9 onwards. But there isn't. There is a whole reason. See, if you read verse 9, after saying what Paul just said, he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience with long suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Once you become a Christian, you say, thank you, Jesus, and then you do six things. That's the start. What's number one? And we're going to have it up here. You can take a photo of it. You can look, use it for reference, but this is the message. Number one, be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Number two, have a walk worthy of the Lord that fully pleases him. Number three, be fruitful in every good work. Number four, increase in the knowledge of God. Number five, be strengthened with all might according to his power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And number six, give thanks to the Father. This is the growth track to holiness. You do these six things, you'll get to the bottom, boom, you're holy. Easy, right? Here's the problem. You've got to first work out whether you want to be holy or not. You have to ask yourself the question, so holiness, do I have to be holy? Can I just be saved and be a good person? Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, he said, therefore, gird up the loins. That's a phrase I use a lot. I'm often walking around to people, I'll be like, hey, how are your loins? Girding up your loins. People, I just walk through the lobby. People are like, hey, pastor, how's your week? Oh, good, girding up my loins. It's a very underused terminology in the Bible. Do you know what it means? It means roll your sleeves up and prepare to do some business. So that's what Paul says. Roll your sleeves up. Get ready to put a little bit of effort in, you Nancy. That's the Australian paraphrase version. Be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to former lusts as is in your ignorance. In other words, you didn't know this stuff before, so you could get away with it. But now that you know, you have an accountability. That's the same with this message. You didn't know this stuff before this morning. After today, you're going to know it, so now you're accountable for it. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So there you go. Christian, being holy, not optional. And Christians go, well, that just seems really hard. Like, I know I'm not that good. I don't think I can do holiness. I'm like a long way from holy. I can't do it. You are spot on. You are correct. You and I cannot be holy without Jesus. Can't do it. See, we need Jesus to take us from where we are to where we need to be. And the reason that many people can't see themselves as becoming holy is because they're not obedient children. They're disobedient children. Every time God asks you to do something, you procrastinate and say, oh, no, I'll do it tomorrow. Or God says, I want you to do something. You're like, no, that must be, oh, was he talking to you or me? I'm pretty sure he was talking to you. Maybe he's asking you to give up things. And you're like, oh, I don't want to give it up. Okay. This is why Christians stop on the growth track of holiness, because they get to this point, they're like, no, don't want to do it. If you will become obedient and just do whatever God wants you to do, you will become holy. It's simple. All you need to do is everything he asks. You're welcome. Thank you. I mean, it sounds easy, right? He's our Father who art in heaven. We pray to our Father. I'm a father. How many fathers? You got kids, right? So when you ask your kids to do something and they do it, does it please you as a dad? Yeah, it pleases you. Why? Why does it please you? Does it please you because you're a control freak megalomaniac? I hope not. We can counsel you if that's what it is. No, it pleases you because you ask them to do something that you know if they do it will be good for them. And that's why it pleases you. Well, it's the same with our Heavenly Father. When we do what He asks us to do, it pleases Him because He knows it's best for us. The holiness growth track is the best track for your life and my life. God doesn't have just some old plan for your life. He's got the perfect one. Paul wrote in Romans 12, the only way to see God's will fulfilled in our life is to stop being conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, we want to live God's will for our life. Everyone here be like, yep, if God would just tell me what His will was, totally, I'm all for it. I just don't know what it is. How many people that? Yeah. Just be honest. We, just for the video, we have a lot of lying people. Everybody wants to know the will of God. But the problem is, the reason you haven't found it is because you won't go on the growth track to holiness. You won't start being obedient. So then you're like, well, it's just not happening. See, I think it's surprising to most Christians today in the world we live in that holiness is a requirement of God. I see Christians trying to be as unholy as they can and still get to heaven. Well, I can do whatever I want. I see hardly any difference when I look at a lot of Christians' lives compared to non-Christians. They don't look any different. They both swear. They both have sex outside of marriage. They both lie. They both cheat on their taxes. They both do everything all day, every day that they know they shouldn't do. So where's the transformative power of Jesus in their life? Where? The bar is too low right now for holiness, church. It's too low. We have dragged that bar so low just to make us feel comfortable. And we've got to raise the bar. And the first thing we do to raise the bar is we have to grow in our understanding of God. If you don't understand God, you will not understand what He's asking of you. And if you don't understand what He's asking of you, you won't be in His will. And the purpose of knowing the will of God is so that you and I can have a walk that is worthy of Him. How do you grow in your understanding of Him? You've got to spend time with Him. You've got to read His word. You've got to communicate. You've got to pray. I love it that our kids do soap. Do you know our kids read the Bible more than most adults? I love that we're raising a generation of young people who are going to say, get out of the road, old people who don't read your Bibles. That's why our ceiling is going to be there for. So, you grow in your understanding. What does that mean? That means you read the Bible. I don't have my Bible. Pastor, I need my Bible. I'm naked without my Bible. Okay, thank you, Pastor Sean. So you get your Bible and you go, okay, let's read Colossians chapter 3. Okay, today I'm reading Colossians 3. But now put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Right, so that's what I need to do to be holy, is I need to stop swearing. Okay. I don't know if I can do that or not. Because when I get angry, I like to swear. When I'm having a really bad day, I swear. But that's okay, right? Because I've got a throw pillow that says, I'm a good Christian, but I just cuss a little. That's not holy. Jesus is not walking into your home with that throw pillow thinking that's cool and cute. See, the bar's too low. If the Bible says put off filthy language, put off filthy language. Stop it in Jesus' name through the power of the Holy Spirit. Have a mouth that pleases God. Think about every word that comes out of your mouth. Jesus is listening because He is. Here's what happens. Let's just say that is a thing, and I believe that this is a huge deal in the church right now, because I see Christians all the time typing on Facebook. They'll type swear words on Facebook all the time. So I'm like, obviously you don't mind typing it on Facebook means you don't mind saying it. But if you will say, God, help me stop swearing. Please, please take my mouth. Help me stop it. And then you stop it. Do you know what it's like? And I know that this is I'm just creating some imagery here, okay? But when you're a parent and your kids come home from school, maybe they're in first or second grade, kindergarten, and they've been asked to draw a house. And they bring home the drawing, and it's just a big square box, and it's got the four windows and the little peak. And you're like, that's amazing. That is amazing. And you put it on the fridge, and you're like telling it. People come over to your house. You're like, look at my son, Picasso. It's going to be worth $100 million in years. Look at it. Look at the lines. They're amazing. That's what God does when we listen to his word, and his word says stop swearing, and we stop swearing. He says to the angels, put it on the fridge. Look what they did. What's God got of yours on his fridge? Or is there nothing? This is holiness. See, the only way to do that is you've got to die to yourself. If you don't die to yourself, you'll never want to stop swearing. You'll never want to do all the things that God asks you to do. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. In other words, when Jesus died on the cross and I accepted him as my Savior, I died too. It's no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Holiness starts with dying to yourself, which is why most Christians never get past first base, because we don't want to die to ourselves because we're selfish. Paul said, I've determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Have you ever said that? Have you? Have you ever said, I've determined to know nothing except what Jesus wants me to know? I've determined to do nothing except what Jesus asked me to do. Have you ever actually said that statement and meant it? Because that's the growth track of holiness. You might like, oh, well, I don't know if anybody's ever done that since Paul. George Mueller was a evangelist in the 1800s in England. And when he got to the end of his life, people said to him, how did you do what you did? How did you pull it off? And he said this, there was a day when I died, I utterly died, and I died to George Mueller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. I died to the world and its approval. I died to the approval of my friends. And since then, I have studied to show myself only approved to God. Maybe that's a prayer that you need to pray at the end of this service. God, I want to die to worrying about what other people think. I want to die to knowing anything except you. This Bible is full of everything that God's asking us to do. Yeah. It's all in here. And yet we constantly say to God, no, no, just not going to do it. Yet I can guarantee you that if you were walking through the Mall of America or somewhere or in an airport somewhere, and you were walking and somebody who you considered to be a celebrity, let's say it's a sports person or maybe a singer, a musician, and you saw that person and they're walking towards you and you see Beyonce and you're like, I'm the one that gets, I get to lead her to Jesus because she needs it. Hopefully she'll watch this someday. Realize Jesus loves her and has a perfect plan for her life and it doesn't involve this. Just edit that out. celebrity walks up to you and you're like, oh my goodness, they're going to talk to me. They're going to talk to me. They're talking to me. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. Like, hey, dude, left my phone back in the hotel room. I know this is really weird, but could I have your phone? Like, would you just give me your phone? You'd be like, give me your phone, phone. Kids, give him your phone. How many phones do you want? You want five phones? You want ten? We need phones, phones, famous person. And we wouldn't care, would we? But so why is it when God asks us to do something, we're like, no, don't want to do it. We got it round the wrong way, church. We're worshiping the wrong people. Jesus is at the top. Jesus is at the top. He's the one we should be worshiping, not celebrities. We got to worship Jesus. We got to worry way more about what Jesus says than what about people say on TikTok. When God, who has saved you for eternity, asks you to do something, do it. Because that's the only way you can have a walk that's worthy of the Lord. The Greek word that Paul uses here, peripateia, means an actual walk. It means what is the conduct as you are physically walking? What does your life look like? When people look at your life, does it look like Jesus? Have a walk in the way of goodness. Proverbs 2:20, keep to the paths of righteousness. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. The more you understand God, the more you understand what he wants your walk to be. And God's standard for your life is high, my friend. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to tell you it's not high. It's high. And you can't do it unless you rely on Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You won't reach the bar unless you do it in Jesus. It was high for Jesus. The bar was high for him. It wasn't easy for Jesus. It won't be easy for us. But Jesus made a way where there wasn't a way. That's why we know we can do it. We need to pay more attention to our day-to-day walk. To make sure that our walk looks different. That our walk looks holy. Jesus' walk, the only walk that of anybody who's ever walked on this planet, his walk was the only one that fully pleased God. And what did he do? He just did everything the Father asked him to do. Even when the Father said, oh, I need you to go and die on a cross, even though you've done nothing wrong. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So Jesus is our ultimate example. He's the one that said, yes, Father, whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. So maybe you need to ask yourself this morning, God, what is it that you've asked me to do that I am not doing right now? What is it? What is that thing for you? What is that thing that God's asked you and you're not doing it or you haven't done it? Because if you don't do it, you won't bear any fruit. And a walk that's worthy of God produces godly fruit. See, here's the deal. You're going to produce fruit in your life one way or another. It's either going to be fruit that the world likes or it's going to be fruit that God likes. It's going to be one that poisons your soul or one that's healthy to your soul. But you will produce fruit. And we're called to produce fruit. We're called to produce fruit that's difficult to produce. Because sometimes we're like, well, I can produce that kind of fruit, but that fruit, I'm no good at that. No, every area, every area. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden, it was to produce fruit. In Genesis 1:29, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. You and I cannot have a walk that is worthy of the Lord unless we produce fruit and we multiply it. You can't multiply fruit unless you're producing fruit first. You can't be fruitful unless you've got dominion. You can't be a dominator when you're being dominated. All I see is Christians letting the world dominate them instead of dominating the world. Hello, we've got Jesus. There should be a little bit more dominating going on from the body of Christ. Instead of like, oh, the world's so hard. Oh, I don't know if I can make it through. Come on, get a little bit of go in you. Understand that it's got Christ in your heart that's ready to dominate the circumstances that you find yourself in. All we've got to do is abide in Jesus. That's it. Jesus said, John 15, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. You'll ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you'll be my disciples. You and I can't glorify God unless we're bearing fruit and we're disciplined followers of him. That's it. The only way you can do that is you've got to start dominating the world instead of, because if you don't have a spirit of domination and you're just being dominated, then you will always have excuses as to why you're not doing what God asked you to do. You'll be an excuse machine. That's all you'll do. Well, I couldn't because of this, and I couldn't because of that, and I couldn't because of this. When you do that and you produce fruit, you start to grow in the knowledge of God. We're meant to always be increasing the knowledge of God. So let me ask you a question. Do you know more about God than you did 1 year ago today? Do you? If you have, you're on the track. If you've grown, if you haven't, you need to get on the track. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The gift of knowledge is, it's a gift. In other words, you say, well, I don't know how to read the Bible and get anything out of it. God says, no, I'll give it to you as a gift as you read it. And God doesn't just want you to be saved. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be called. He wants you to be holy. And you can't do that unless you know the truth. It's a continual quest for knowledge. Peter, think about poor Peter. I always feel sorry for Peter because he got such a bad rap. Like, this is the guy walked on water and then he denies Jesus. Then Jesus says, on you I'm going to build my church. And then he cuts the guy's ears off. And then, like, he's just doing one stupid thing after a good thing. And then he gets to the end of his life. And one of the last things he ever says as he's about to die, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he's about to die, he was like, I still want to grow in what I know. And it's not a suggestion, church. It's a command. It's a command. And it's not just a command for pastors. It's not just a command for your life group leader. It's not just a command for spiritual people. It's a command for every single Christian. Because when you do that, you'll have the strength and the power and the patience in the Lord to say, thank you, Father, for making me holy. Holiness is a requirement for every single Christian. So there are three things that you need to consider today. Three things. What are the things in your life that you need to stop today? Because they are leading you away from holiness. Number two. What are the things that you need to start today so you can start becoming more like Jesus? And then thirdly, what are the things that you need to refine in your life so you can continue your journey to holiness? And then lastly, what needs to die today? What part of you needs to die? So you can say, I've truly died to myself. Because if you don't die to yourself, you'll never live for Jesus. You'll live for you. It'll always just be about you. Jesus, all he'll be is Savior. He'll never be Lord. He's not called just to be your Savior. He's Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord and Savior. That's who he is.